Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Kyler Murray led the Cardinals on a comeback for the ages when Arizona found themselves down 30-26 with only 34 seconds to go in the game. Kyler completed three passes for 32 yards before escaping a sack, then unleashing a 43-yard bomb that DeAndre Hopkins came down with despite three defenders being all over him. Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick is joining us now. Michael, that was an incredible game, incredible ending. I want to ask you, was it a better throw or a better catch?
I got to go with it was a better catch. As much as I want to say quarterback bias, that it was a better throw by Kyler Murray under duress, scrambling, had a guy barreling down on him. This ball could have easily sailed out of bounds. It could have came up short. It was thrown with enough accuracy and trajectory that DeAndre Hopkins was able to go up and make the catch. But I have to go with the better catch over the throw. And take nothing away from Kyler Murray, man. This play doesn't happen without the ball being in his hands. But for DeAndre Hopkins to go up and take the ball away from three defenders, I mean, like, DeAndre's not known for going up and being vertical and taking the ball away from guys. He's known for getting open, you know, in the middle of the field, you know, one-on-one routes. You know, I didn't expect this. I didn't expect to see this. But, you know, for him to get up, go vertical, take it away from three defenders and just leave him looking stupid, man. This was a better catch than throw. This will go down as one of the, you know, one of the better catches and greater plays of all time. And when I think about the catch, you know, Dwight Clark, Joe Montana don't get any credit for that. You know, I mean, people acknowledge it, but Dwight Clark, he gets all the accolades for it. He gets all the press for it. So, you know, I'm gonna just leave it at that, man. But Kyler Murray, you know, ball in his hands, it shows that anything can happen.
I agree with you, but I'm looking at his stats, Skip. I didn't realize that that Arizona had three guys rush for over 50 yards. They had 217 yards rushing. I just, you know, if you didn't know better, you just thought this was all this. They played, they deserved, I don't think they deserved to win the game. All that being said, they had 217 yards rushing, and Kyler was phenomenal running the football, Skip. But, Mike, you know this. What do we, every, now, I don't know if y'all did it, but we did it on Friday. We go through the Hail Mary. Mike, what are you taught to do? Are you taught to try to high point the ball or knock it down? You're taught to knock the ball down. And what do they do? If I'm Sean McDermott, call a timeout. You got two timeouts. Let's go over to make sure we know what we're going to do and how we want to approach this. Kyler made an unbelievable play to escape the pocket. He did the little stutter step. He stole that from Mahomes. Skip, remember Mahomes hit that stutter step on Tennessee?
Don't compare Mahomes. Don't compare Mahomes and Kyler, please.
That running ability.
When it comes to mobility.
Yeah, Mahomes, well, he did the stutter step, bought him some time. But what he did, I love that how he turned the ball over, threw it up, turned it down. Can't do that like my guy in Green Bay. He's the king of the Hail Mary. But the catch, because people don't understand, Mike, to time a jump, for a ball that's coming from that distance, it's one thing on a fade, you in the red zone, you in the goal line. You jump at the ball, it's going to be on you quick. But the time that jump from where Kyler threw it and from the time, it's like, okay, if I go up too early, I'm going to be coming down. If I go up too late, I'm gonna miss it. And for him to do that through three guys, even though I think Poirier was on his side because he ended up knocking Tre'Davious White off of D-Hop, and Kyler Murray said it. He's like, hop down there somewhere. Let me throw it down there. So, and that's what he did, Skip. Give that man credit. Mm. And to see him all that blue, he saw some black gloves and said, hey, I think D-Hop got on black glove. Mm. Let me throw it. He down there. He catch it.
Mm. And he was one-on-one. Well, for the most part, single receiver.
I am surprised and very disappointed in both of you. Both of you played this game at the highest of levels. And here I am correcting you because clearly the degree of difficulty of the throw was, I said three times to open the show, because you ticked me off in the A block. It's four times more difficult to make that throw than that catch. So let's break it down. Kyler is running, obviously, to his left. Unlike Michael Vick, he's a right-handed quarterback. So the throw he's going to have to make is across his body. And Mario Addison gets him around the ankles and trips him up for a second, but he escapes that. But it took his eyes from trying to find somebody open in the end zone just for a split second. Now he accelerates to full speed toward the sideline, and here comes big old Ed Oliver, hulking, leaping, 6'1", almost 300 pounds, right in his face. Kyler Murray has to fall sideways and throw across his body, whipping his right leg over his body to just get a little more mustard on the throw to make it travel 55 yards in the air and come down at the absolute perfect spot for D-Hop, who's got hops, to go up and snatch it at its apogee, at the height of his jump. And again, you got to time it right, as Shannon points out, as a Hall of Fame receiver, tight end, obviously. But still, the throw is impossibly great to be at the pinpoint that it has to arrive at the moment it needs to arrive. And it beat three of the better, as a trio, defensive backs in the whole league. But what does D-Hop have over those three? Well, he's 6'1", so he's got an inch over Jordan Poyer, an inch over Micah Hyde, and Tre'Davious White's only 5'11", so he's got 2 inches on him. Let's go back to their combined verticals just to demonstrate what kind of hops they have. Well, D-Hop can hop out of the gym because he's got a 36-inch combined vertical. Now we go to Micah Hyde at a 33, Tre'Davious had a 32, and Poyer had a 30.5-inch vertical jump. So obviously, D-Hop has huge advantage. He's got height and he's got hops advantage over all three of them. And he goes up, high points the ball, and who's got the best hands of those four players? Well, obviously, D-Hop does this for a living. He's been doing this from Deshaun for years. This is how he plays. He goes up and snatches balls out of the sky. So he goes up to snatch. He gets both hands on the ball. It looks like Tre'Davious has got the best shot at with getting his two hands on the ball and knocking it down, as you say everybody should do. And here comes Poyer flying across the play and rams Tre'Davious hard enough that he knocks his hands off the football.
Right.
Well, Micah Hyde's already boxed out by a bigger man. So, again, is it shocking that D-Hop came down with the football? It's not shocking to me because that's routine for him to make that play.
But see, Skip, what you're trying to do is that, Mike, what he tried to do earlier was sell us that only Kyler Murray can make this play. And Jim, I had Jim, my new DJ, came up with this track for me. Mm. I want to show you something, Mike. Now, you tell me which throw were harder, the one I'm about to show you or the one Kyler Murray. Look at this throw here. Now, look at where he throws this from and how he throws it. Now, Mike Vick, you're a quarterback. Now, you tell me which one was the hardest.
I mean, if you look at both throws, they both look about the same. It's two versus one right here, and then it was three versus one in Kyler's play. And in order to make this catch, you know, it's going to be either your guy or nobody. But both guys targeted the single receiver in this instant. On the other side of the field was Larry Fitzgerald and a couple other guys. And in this same, you know, video, it's two guys up top and one guy down the middle. So they both had a plan. And I think the plan was to go to the single receiver, and they made it throwing a heavy degree of difficulty. But it's a Hail Mary. It's hit or miss. You know, regardless of how it looked, both of them throws could have been made from the pocket. You know, both guys made it look a little harder than what it was, or became a little harder than what it was supposed to be. You know, when you're a quarterback in this situation, you know, you got to give the credit to your receivers, because these guys run routes all game. Sometimes they don't get the ball. And when they finally get a chance to make a heroic play and they do it, you got to give them all the credit.
Aaron Rodgers closed his eyes and threw it to the moon. He tried to throw it over the moon. He tried to hit the ceiling. It was inside at Arizona,
yeah,
right?
Same place.
I got it. So he throws it to the ceiling, and it suddenly comes down. Jeff Janis is 10 yards from the end zone when he cuts loose. And Jeff Janis is like 6'5", maybe? And he just keeps running, and I don't know why Patrick Peterson doesn't just attack the football and just go knock it down, because he's got a much better chance than the Buffalo DBs had of knocking it down, because DeAndre was already posted up in the end zone when the ball's coming down. Janis runs into the end zone and goes and gets the football.
Aaron Rodgers throws this ball.
It was just like Richard Rodgers did at Detroit. Do you remember that that? Was it like a Thursday night
game?
Yeah, and he's 10 yards from the end zone, and he just keeps running and catches it right at the in line. You
that's
know, at
how the, Aaron Rodgers got the name, the King of the Hail Mary.
Yeah. He didn't get that.
Yes,
right.
He is.
He is not. I think Kyler just usurped that title.
No, he got what? Aaron Rodgers got
Well,
like
he's in his second year, and it looked like he'd been doing that forever.
Hey, Shannon, Skip, these guys, every week on Saturday, like Shannon said, they practice situational football, and they are taught to knock this ball down over and over and over again. You might not even get a Hail Mary situation in 10 games, but when it comes down to it, you are taught on defense to knock the ball down. That's why I got to give credit to D-Hop for making this catch, because they are taught consistently to knock the ball down, and he didn't allow them to do that.
Yeah, you go over plays. It's like onside. We practice onside every single week. Skip, you might have what you might get two. You might get two a year, but if the situation arises, you know the situations. Okay, you got a block. Okay, the first four guys, you go block. You let the guy receive the ball. Okay, in this situation, okay, all that you've been practicing for the first 10 weeks of the season, you haven't had a Hail Mary attempt. If you just do your responsibility, if I do my responsibility, Mike, if I knock this ball down and somebody is running from behind and they get it, I've done my job, Mike. You can't be mad at me. But when you go up there and try to and catch the ball like D-Hop, who's a receiver, you got what you deserve.
Yeah. They definitely got sun.
Michael,
Those guys don't want to wake up this morning.
Yeah, I've been trying to convince Shannon since Kyler Murray was at the University of Oklahoma. This little man's got a cannon of an arm. And this little man's got magic in him, because all he did was win three straight state championships in the state of Texas. And all he did was hang 417 combined yards on St. Nick's Alabama defense in the national semifinal. He is a magic little man. He is as clutch as they come. And you got to see it for real in a big NFL game.
Man, he was down 28-0 against St. Nick. Man, yeah. We called the dogs off him, Mike.
Laid it all
we
over.
We felt bad for him. Like, man, we're going to hurt his draft chances.
The one thing about good quarterback play, and when you watch a guy like Kyler Murray, for the future, you know what you're going to get. He's looked the same since he started for the Arizona Cardinals. Every week is the same. You might be a couple turnovers here, a couple bad plays there, but consistently his game looks the same. Nothing's going to change, so... To your point, Skip, get used to this guy. He'll be at the top of every major statistical category throughout his career for the rest of his career. So, you know, great for the Arizona Cardinals to have this guy. It was a good pick, and the future is bright in Arizona.
Well, it's not his arm that scares me. It's his legs. Because you get into the red zone, it's like they get into the red zone and they call that zone read. And they grab that back, and before they realize it, he's in the end zone. He's handing the ball to the official. I'm like, bro.
That ain't his fault.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
That ain't his fault.
He scares you so much because guys like him, Mike, you know this. They want to speed you up. Defenses want to speed you up, make a decision. But like you, if they ran past you and you jumped out the window, it was over. Then you run past this kid, it's over.
Yeah. But Kyle is going to, you know, supersede expectations because, you know, the same way he can run the football, he can pull it down and get yards and just give the defense hell. He can do the same thing in a passing game. Like, his arm is amazing. His accuracy is amazing. And his ability to do everything in the passing game, he's shown us he can make every throw, whether short, middle, or deep.
But this is why I fear him with his legs. Because the guys that are covering his receivers are equally as talented. Tell me the guy that has him that's equally as talented as him. Tell me the spy that you says, okay, I want you to spy this kid, and you got him all over the field. You tell me the guy. Because I can take Jalen Ramsey and put him on
JB. You can't even see the guy behind the line of scrimmage.
Huh?
I mean, he's gonna always be a problem for the defense.
Yes.
You can't see him when he take off running.
Yeah, and don't look now. I think he just threw his hat right in the middle of the MVP race, right?
Hey, and guess what? Mike? And my homeboy just kicked it right out the circle. Get that hat out of this circle.
Really?
You know I'm the MVP. Stop playing with me.
Out of sight, out of mind.
You
got to reach for the stars. You got to shoot for the stars.
That's right.
Well, he's going to remind you this week. In 2 weeks, he got something for your guy. You remember what happened last time he played it? Mm. You remember last time, Skip?
I remember when it mattered.
It didn't matter last time, huh?
Nope. Not like it did.
Well, he kept y'all from getting home field. Okay. If y'all to beat him, y'all had home field.
No mercy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Saturday strong with the Big Noon Kickoff Show live from Columbus at 10 a.m. Eastern, followed by Big Noon Saturday, where Indiana looks to continue their incredible season against Heisman contender Justin Fields and No. 3 Ohio State. It's all on Fox and the Fox Sports app. I am gearing up for that one, and it is always more fun to walk around Columbus with Urban Meyer alongside. I'm happy to have the guys with us Saturday. So, guys, Kyler Murray is now fourth in MVP odds at plus 700, according to Fox Bet. The second-year QB barely trails Aaron Rodgers, who is third at plus 300, and Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, who are tied at the top at plus 200. So, Shannon, who has the edge for MVP?
Mahomes is not even close. I don't know where to get a tie from. Mm-hmm. He has 27 total touchdowns, one turnover, averaging nearly 300 yards passing the game. His team is 8-1. They're second in the league and scored at 32 points a game. He's first in QBR. Next would be Aaron Rodgers, 26 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, second in QBR. He has 4 games this season in which he's thrown 4 touchdowns and 0 interception, and his defense isn't very good. Third on my list has been Roethlisberger. Mm. Skip, I don't think people realize how under the radar he's been. Now, they got a 9-0 record because a lot of that on their defense. But Big Ben is 22-4. And he threw 3 interceptions in 1 game against Tennessee, but they ended up winning that game. So those will be my top 3. My fourth guy would be, I hate to admit it, Tom Brady. Tom Brady is in the fourth spot. Russ has dropped out of the top 5 for me, Skip. I don't know if people know this, but Russell Wilson is tied for second in the league in turnovers. Carson Wentz is 1-16. He's tied with Daniel Jones with 13. Mm-hmm. And that interception he threw yesterday, Skip, Russ has the first down. Just keep running. He stops, throws clear across his body to the back pylon on the other side and gets it picked. His decision-making, he's trying to play. No, I don't need Russ to cook all the time. Mm. Come on, Russ. Too many turnovers. So, and next will be Kyler. Skip, the thing that's hurting Kyler turns the ball over a lot. He has an interception of 6 of the 9 games. He's 10th in QBR. He has 2 games under 200 yards passing. And yesterday, he's right on the cusp. He's at 202 before that last big play. And so, for me, those are my top 5 quarterbacks. Mahomes, Rodgers, Big Ben, Tom, Kyler.
Mm. Okay, let's look at the quarterbacks who have taken steps back. Russell Wilson, as you talk about, let Russ cook. He's cooking Seattle more than he's cooking exactly, the opposition. Exactly. He has 10 turnovers in the last four games. That's by far the most in the whole league over the last four games. So he has played his way right out of the MVP race.
Correct.
Aaron Rodgers had a bad game yesterday by his standards. He had a 45 QBR against Jacksonville, the 31st-ranked defense at Lambeau on the frozen tundra. It took him the whole game to overcome Jacksonville, 24-20. That's a step back for me.
It's a step back.
Sorry. Drew Brees, I thought, had vaulted right in the middle of this until yesterday when he didn't even get to 100 yards passing in the first half and took a shot, got body slammed. Now they're saying it's his back and his ribs. He's having an MRI today. We'll see how that plays out, but that could be...
You know how to say. You can't miss games in the MVP as Wentz.
And it could get a little more interesting for Tampa Bay if he can't play. Then it'd be Jameis. I don't know. He's been a turnover machine in his career. Will he be for New Orleans?
I don't think they'll put him in that situation.
Probably
not. I don't think they'll ask him not to do. But what's interesting is that who are they turning to? Now, they gave Taysom Hill. Oh, they believe in him. They gave him a 2-year deal. It tells me they believe more in Jameis as a quarterback.
Well, do they? They put him in yesterday. Would they start him next week?
Oh, they guess start so. Jameis is starting.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Because every time I see Taysom Hill, he just does great stuff.
Yeah.
He bullied Tampa Bay.
Oh, that ain't saying much.
Bullied.
That ain't saying much.
Oh, not saying much
when
they came in with the number one defense.
Nick Foles bullied him.
Oh. Okay, so Drew Brees out for the moment. Josh Allen looked like he was entering the fray, and then he played very well yesterday but lost, had one big turnover.
Two.
And that brings us back to Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Out of sight, out of mind yesterday, but was coming off not a very good game. He got outplayed in his last game at home by Teddy Bridgewater.
Skip, how you say he got outplayed?
Well, because I'm looking at the QBRs. Teddy Bridgewater had an 89 to Mahomes' 83 at home.
Okay.
And by the way, have you noticed that the easiest schedule played so far and all of the AFC belongs to Kansas City? They played the easy schedule. Their opponents have a winning percentage of .398. Well, that's well below .500.
Well, when you play Mahomes, you're going to have a losing record. Because when you come to town, you know you're taking the L up out of there.
Yeah.
But, Skip, what am I supposed to do about the 27-1? What am I supposed to do with that?
Well,
so where is the QB? So, since Teddy Bridgewater outplayed in one game, how many people have played him through the entirety of the season?
Well, this is what Pro Football Focus wrote last week, coming off his game against Bridgewater. It has been an inconsistent season for Patrick Mahomes, whose rating by Pro Football Focus model was slightly under Tom Brady's rating. That was last week. Well, Tom Brady played his best game of the year yesterday at Carolina against that same Teddy Bridgewater, and his rating can only go up after that game.
Skip, I guarantee you, I can ask all 32 general managers.
I don't care.
Managers.
I'm just going to ask the numbers.
Skip the numbers. Skip, you know the numbers are flawed. Mm. Now, you know, Skip, all that aside, nobody will tell you Tom Brady has outplayed Patrick Mahomes. Mm. I'm not talking about career achievement. I'm talking about for the 2020 season. Mm. There is no way a guy has seven interceptions, has fewer touchdowns, more interceptions, less passing yards, lower QBR, lower completion percentage, lower yards per attempt, and he's played better and a worse record. How?
This is last week, because they haven't done it yet for this week. We'll get it this afternoon. But Tom Brady going into this game at Carolina ranked third in the league in big-time throws and third in turnover-worthy plays, how few he'd had.
Skip, the big-time throws. But I saw him miss four big-time throws yesterday.
By the way, they're all overthrown, which means his arm is much bigger than you're giving it credit for.
Whoa, time out. I thought the objective was to complete the ball, not to have a big-time throw. So if it was a big-time throw, Skip, if it's not completed.
I will bet you his rating on Pro Football Focus's formula, and I have a lot of respect for him because NBC is aligned with them. Chris Collinsworth helps them. Mike McCarthy worked with them last year.
Mike McCarthy need to go back and get – see, they had Mike McCarthy thinking that his – look at what he's doing.
Mm.
Skip, so in other words, if I almost get a win, that's as good as getting a win, right?
It has been an inconsistent season for Mahomes. He played Brian Hoyer at Kansas City and stunk it up against him.
Skip, Skip, your guy got one impressive win. They beat the Packers. We know the Packers' defense is overrated. We understand that.
How about the win at Las Vegas? You don't think they're coming on strong?
That,
Tom just picked them to pieces at Las Vegas.
Well, why didn't he pick the Bears to pieces?
Well,
why didn't he pick Tampa to pieces?
Pretty well. But you mean pick New Orleans?
Yeah, the Bears and New Orleans. Why did he pick them to pieces, Skip?
Well, New Orleans has his number, but in all the other games, especially
what about
that
the Bears?
Game yesterday, I think he's right back in
what
the middle
about the
of the
Giants?
MVP. If you say Mahomes is the MVP, then I got to say, well, Brady's the MVP. And who has the better story? You always tell me it comes down to narrative. I think it's Tom Brady.
Tom does have the story.
Yep.
Skip, look at the – what does the number – Skip, the guy's on pace to throw for almost 50 and 5,000 again. And you – what – Skip, look, if you talk about career achievement, Skip, I'm not talking about what Tom Brady's done from 2000 to 2019. I'm not talking about that because it's not close. I'm talking about for this season, who in their right mind – think Tom Brady has outplayed Patrick Mahomes. I said in their right mind. I'm talking when I say in their wrong mind, that's you.
I'm in more of a right mind than you are.
Skip, he hasn't outplayed Aaron Rodgers.
You get blinded by Brady hate.
Skip.
Just conceded that he's like fourth on your list.
Yes!
Well.
How?
I think he just vaulted up above Mahomes.
Let me ask you a question.
He's already above him.
Let me ask you a question. He has more turnovers than all those guys. He has fewer interceptions than two of those guys. He has a one-loss record that's worse than everybody on this list. How is he in front of them?
He's 7-3 and took over a team that was 7-9 last year. 7-9.
So Ben Roethlisberger took over a team that was 8-8. They got 9 wins right now. Aaron Rodgers has lost 2 games. My homeboy has lost 1 game. How many guys has Tom Brady lost? That many?
Yep.
So in other words, Skip, did you know this? He's lost more games, him by himself, than the other 3 guys in front of him combined.
Huh. What are you telling me about Ben Roethlisberger at this stage and age of his career? He's turned into check down Ben, right?
That's what you're talking about. I know you're not talking about.
Huh?
I know you ain't old Chuck and Doug Tom.
Chuck and Doug, yeah. he leads the whole league in air distance. He's bombs away,
Skip.
Tom.
Skip. Throwing the ball far and not having it completed does nothing. Let that sink in.
Well, don't call him Dink and Dunk, Tom.
I call him Chuck and Dunk.
Oh.
Because he chucking really? And dunking.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Because they don't protect him. Yeah.
Everybody protects him. That's why every time he gets sacked, he turns and look. Did he hit me too hard? You know, he hit me pretty hard. My homeboy, Rodgers, Big Ben.
I hate to tell you, but Tom edged back ahead. That's what Pro Football Focus
is. No, Pro Football ain't focused on that.
And I give you, Roethlisberger has risen all the way up to 2nd on this list, and Kyler is in the mix. I'll give you Kyler 3rd right now.
Hold on, time out.
Narratives.
What is Fox Bet
degree of difficulty?
What is Fox Bet guy?
I don't care.
Okay,
what do you always tell me about the odds makers? You say they build big buildings in
but you don't
casinos
care about
off
you don't
people
care about
who swallow these odds.
Oh, you just told me all you hit me over the head with, Jenny. The Clippers were 6-point favorites over the Nuggets.
They were 8 every game.
Okay, 8. And the Pro Lakers, all they could get is 6?
6.
What do they know?
Yeah. Degree of difficulty, strength, they were showing you.
Now, I give you this.
Are you telling me that people would bet more on the Clippers as a public team than the Lakers? No.
Skip, my homeboy, if you look at what he has coming down the pipeline, he's got some games. They got New Orleans. They got Tampa.
All right, we'll see.
Skip, he come up out of that thing with wins.
Right now, he's played the easiest schedule in the AFC. Way to go.
I can see him throwing for about 5 or 6 touchdowns and no picks.
Yeah, I give him a lot better shot at Tampa Bay because when he's at home, my homeboy stinks. He fell behind, 24-0 to
and walked
Houston?
And ended up walking them, beating them 51-30.
Wow, way to go.
How many guys you know can fall behind by double digits and end up winning the game by double digits?
17-7 to Tennessee at
your
home.
Your guy should have lost to Daniel
games?
Jones.
Home
your guy lost to Nick Foles, who have yet to win another, hadn't won a game since he beat Tom.
No mercy.
Tua Tagovailoa has now started 3 games and won all 3. Tua's latest win came against the Chargers at home, where he threw for 169 yards, 2 touchdowns, and avoided any sacks or turnovers. After the game, Tua said of playing in the NFL, quote, "I expected it to be a lot harder." Michael Vick is back with us. Michael, could you please give a letter grade for Tua and his performance yesterday?
Man, I just got to say this first, Jenny. I like that type of talk. when a young quarterback is saying, I thought the NFL was going to be a lot harder, that means he's learning on the job and he's getting everything out of his offensive coordinator and quarterback coach during the week. I just started by that. But yesterday, I got to give him an A because, you know, not only did Tua just manage the game and, you know, not put the team in harm's way, you know, for consecutive games, he's been good in the red zone. His red zone efficiency is way high since he took over after the bye. And the ability to stay on the field on third downs, his third down efficiency has been through the roof as well. And, you know, that's what quarterbacks judge themselves off of, how well you play on third down and how efficient you are in the red zone. And every time the Miami Dolphins get a big play, a turnover, a big special teams play, and they in the red zone, they always capitalize. And that's been the biggest difference from this team from the last couple of years. You know, they've taken advantage of every opportunity, and it's because of Tua. You know, yes, Ryan Fitzpatrick put him in a good position where Tua can go out there and play without pressure, but there was talk about this man being on the 10-game audition. So I think he's passed that test. I think he's passed the eye test, and certainly as a player, you know, this man is progressing and learning on the job each and every week. And, you know, I'm always root for my lefties. You know, it's extremely tough for us in the National Football League. We don't get out of love. It's not enough of us. But this guy is going to change the face of the Miami Dolphins for years to come.
Unlike you, I particularly don't really like that he said the NFL is a lot easier than I thought it would be. You've only played 3 games. Ask Tom Brady, ask some of the greats how easy the NFL is. Now, you talking now, bro, it's not like you throwing for 400. You threw for $160. So just temper it down a little bit. He's playing well. He's not going to be asked, at least not now, to throw the ball an enormous amount of times for enormous amount of yards, Skip, because they can play an outstanding defense. They got good, sound special teams. So what they're asking him to do is not a whole lot, but he's doing that at a very high level. And that's all you could ask for. Not to turn the ball over. Do what we ask you to do. And he's doing that. I thought Chan Gailey's done a great job of each week adding a little more to his plate. Add a little more. And he's going to keep at it. But don't look now. They go to Denver. They beat Denver. Guess what, Skip? They tied for the number one. They tied in the AFC East. And I was like, Brian Flores, why are you doing this? Ryan Fitzpatrick had just won 3. I mean, he had just put the beat down on San Francisco. And they're like, we making a okay. Now you can understand why. We need to look, we're not just worried about 2020. What about 2021 to 2026, 27? We need to find out just what we got. We got this guy at the 5th pick in the draft. Let's see if he's everything that we thought he was when we selected him. I gave him a B+. Because, Skip, they didn't ask him to do a whole lot. He only threw the ball, 25 times, 15 to 25, 169, 2 touchdowns. But I saw him make some throws on the move, Skip, and some zip on that thing. You saw it, too.
I did not.
Yeah, you did.
Those.
Yeah, you did.
You must. I got to get a new TV, I guess.
That's
I
your Christmas gift.
Zip? Getting,
had a nice little zip on that
Hey,
thing.
This lefty has about half the arm that Michael Vick had. About half.
Skip, when you make it.
Seriously.
Ain't a whole lot of people had the arm that Mike
I
had.
I got it, but I'm saying about half.
Look at that. Oh, look at that throw right there, Skip.
Sure.
That's wicked, man.
Look at this right here. Look at that. Wow.
Wow. Nice little spot route.
Nice.
Are they speeding that up in the control room?
You know, I mean, I love Tua's touch. I wish I had this type of touch.
He's got
touch. Sometimes the strong arm can get you in trouble.
Okay, my turn. I'm going to give Tua a B for his performance yesterday. I'm going to give the Dolphin defense an A and the special teams an A because they are playing out of their minds.
That's fair.
And
That's
Tua
fair.
Is going along for a great ride. And as Mike said, he's game managing at a very high level. But, man, it's like a magic carpet ride. And just for objectivity here, I'm going to point out a couple of throws that he got away with yesterday because they're up only 20-14 fairly late in the third quarter. It's 4:46 left, and he throws one over the middle that Shaheen, if we could see, ends up catching. And tell me how Kenneth Murray doesn't catch this. It goes, Kenneth Murray's my man from Oklahoma, who's the 23rd overall pick to the Chargers.
Look at that.
Look at this. He goes like through both his hands, yeah. And Shaheen catches it.
And I'm like, how do you not intercept this ball?
That's a dart. Look at that.
It was a dart? It had hang time.
It's that lefty spin, too.
It is. He got fooled by the lefty spin. It mesmerized. It hypnotized him in the air until he just said, I don't even know how to close my hands on the ball. What are you doing, Kenneth Murray? You're better than that. I've seen you pick balls off before. And then a few plays later, it gets to 3rd and 9. He just heaves one up into the end zone to Devontae Parker. I'm saying, kid, what are you doing? He's not open. You just throw it up to him. There are more charges there. Like, 2 charges have a chance to intercept this ball.
Yeah, I thought that was really the only bad play.
That's just a bad idea all the way around, right?
Right.
It's like the 2 Chargers knocked themselves off the interception. Come on, kid. You're better than that. So those came back to back. It's magic carpet ride. Everything's going well. Now to what he said. I thought the NFL would be harder. Well, I'm with Shannon on this one because, hey,
I want to touch on that, too.
Hey, I covered this league for a long, long time, and to me, those can be famous last words for a young quarterback because I don't know what you're talking about. It is so hard, and it only gets harder and harder.
Yes.
You're going to get beat up, but I'm going to give him one other play that, man, I should give him an A just for this play. There was one point where it was 3rd and 1 at the 9, and they had an exchange fumble, and it was his fault and the center's fault. And look what happens. This ball goes back, and that Nick Vigil picks it up for the Chargers. And guess who runs it down? Tua. This man is 6'2", 240. And Tua, I don't know if this is a good idea or a bad idea, but it was a great play on his part. It saves a touchdown because he is going to go house on this one.
I mean, that ain't DK Metcalf. Hey. That might be CK Metcalf, but he got him, though, Mike.
He got him. Tua goes, and you're coming off a career-threatening hip surgery? Well, I just don't know if that's the smartest play ever made, but I like the guts of it. That showed me something.
Yes.
That's guts.
Say what? Brian Flores, he was extremely happy with that play. That's a play he'll show to the team, and that's a play that
he will
certainly Tua can learn from because it'll be more of those as time goes on. But back to Tua saying the league is easy and, you know, he's riding the wave right now. You know, the defense has played lights out. They've given him a lot of short fields and special teams have contributed. It's going to come a point in time where he's going to have to bring the team back in the fourth quarter. He's going to have to, you know, put together a 2-minute drive, you know, at the end of the first half. You know, it's going to get tougher. Things are going to get tighter and, you know, He can just look at Lamar Jackson and what he's going through. Once teams have a year to watch you and figure you out, you know, then they'll have a better beat in terms of what you're doing or what you like to do. But as of right now, he's going to ride this wave, and this is just a confidence builder. But so far, so good.
So far, so great.
Guess what's going to happen, Mike? You know what's going to happen. Every time somebody get a hit on him, you still think the NFL easy?
Mm.
How is that? Is that easy? Guys hear everything. It's amazing how you in Denver, but you hear everything somebody says, good, bad, or indifferent. Yeah. They in Cincinnati. They in Chicago. Word of mouth travel faster than anything. Faster than one man and television. That's how word of mouth get around. Mm-hmm. So, hey, be careful, Tua.
Mm-hmm.
I personally love it. I'm with Mike. I mean, he's confident. Okay. He's feeling himself a little bit. We want athletes to be open and honest in interviews, and then when they actually tell us something good, we give them a hard time.
Okay.
I'm liking this, Shannon. Come on.
No mercy.
2 of the most exciting quarterbacks in the league square off when Kyler Murray and the Cardinals take on Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Thursday Night Football this week at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox NFL Network. And streaming, as always, on Prime Video. Well, according to reports, Kevin Durant recently spoke with Houston Rockets star James Harden about the possibility of playing together in Brooklyn. If the Rockets were to decide to move on from Harden, the Nets are at the top of his list of potential teams and are also a team that could offer the Rockets enough to make the deal happen, pairing him with Durant and Kyrie Irving. This is a lot to process. Shannon, would this work?
No, absolutely not. Skip, it sounds good on paper. Oh, man, James Harden, Kyrie, KD. But Skip, you got 3 guys that have the 16 highest usage since the merger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last year, James Harden, before last year, before he paired with Russ, he was either 1st or 2nd in usage. Last year, he was third. He dropped all the way down to third. Kyrie is a guy that needs the ball. Now, KD needs the ball, but not nearly enough, and not nearly as much as these other two guys. Skip, now, at some point in time, we're going to have to come to the conclusion. It's not everybody else's fault that plays with James Harden. Dwight Howard, he couldn't make it. Chris Paul, he couldn't make it. Russ, he couldn't make it. At some point in time, the common denominator is still James Harden. Kyrie's complaining about the ball with LeBron. LeBron is way more of a willing passer of the basketball than James Harden. And now you're going to put all three of these guys together, Skip, and you're going to give up Dinwiddie, LeVert, Jared Allen. I would no way, no how do this. And that means no way. It's not going to work, Skip. It sounds good in theory. But James Harden and KD needs to understand they're very different players than when they were, 8, 9, 10 years ago when they were together, Skip. James Harden is a different animal. He doesn't see himself as the third best player on a team.
He does not.
Kevin Durant is a different animal. He doesn't see himself as just a guy on the come. It ain't working. You know it's not going to work. It sounds good. You just wanted to get together so you think they could take down my guy. But my guy is an emperor.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's an aging emperor.
Don't do that, Skip. Don't do that.
Okay, so my first question is this. Kyrie and KD are childlike to me. They're like besties, but they're like, I'll give them like college-like. Let's do that.
Yes.
And it's like, hey, we saw that video of them up in the hallway up at the All-Star game.
Right.
We could get two maxes
under
the cap in Brooklyn.
Right.
And KD was like, you want to go to Brooklyn? Well, everybody thought they would go to revive the Knicks, put the Knicks back on the national map. It'd be a great move. It'd be a legacy move for both of them. No, Kyrie decides, I want to go to Brooklyn. Okay, I'll go to Brooklyn with you.
Yeah.
And KD seemed to put no real thought into it except Kyrie wants to go there, so I'm there too.
Right.
Okay, what I don't know last night, and we won't know, did KD inform Kyrie that he was recruiting James to force a trade to the Brooklyn Nets?
Right.
Did Kyrie, was he in the loop of that? Because if he is, then okay, at least it's got some kind of chance. But if he's not, it could be chaotic disaster.
Right.
Because to your point, listen, Kyrie and James, I couldn't pick two worse fits of those two. Because Kyrie is his own man, we know that. And he wants to have control of the game and the ball, which is why he and Kevin are a great fit together because they love each other. I think they will willingly sacrifice
for each other. We thought James and Russ loved each other.
Well, they did. They sacrificed for each other as much as they would for any other human, and it still didn't work.
Right.
Okay, because to your point, James fell one notch in usage rate because he said, okay, I'll let you have the ball some. And you drive it right-handed, and I'll drive it left-handed. And there were nights it was fun to watch, and it worked. But in the end, Russ said, I can't live with this anymore. And then James, and I pity James here because he's saying, wait a second. I'm going to be left all alone in Houston. What's going to happen to me?
You should have thought about that before you started.
Okay.
The way you play, Skip.
Okay, I got it. But he's saying, if he wants out, then I got to get out because I don't want to be here solo act. So maybe I should go to Brooklyn. Hey, guys, how about having me in Brooklyn? Won't it be fun, the three of us, me and Kevin, reunited from our days in OKC when James is coming off the bench?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Averaging 15, 16 points a game as opposed to a guy that's averaging over the last couple of years probably, 36 one year, 34 last year, 30. No, Skip. This is James Harden's fault because Daryl Morey did everything he possibly could. He built this entire team around James Harden.
He did.
And now nobody wants to play with James Harden. He's like, well, I want out too now.
Okay.
No, hold on. You done made me cook all this food. You gonna eat it. It's like when you ask your grandma, your parents to cook you something.
I got it.
You know, like, I don't want it.
Yep.
Oh, you gonna eat this.
Okay.
Man, if I'm Timma Fertitta, you ain't going nowhere, bro.
So how could I endorse this trade? I already picked the Nets to win the East next year with Caris LeVert and Dinwiddie and Jared Allen.
Right.
Well, I don't want to have to trade all three and probably more for James Harden.
Yes.
Why would I do that and get left with a big three with the Nets?
that it'll be chaotic disaster. You know it, and I know it.
And then you got all three on max contracts. Mm-hmm. Good luck filling in the rest of the At least the Rob Pelinka could fill in spots because LeBron was on the max and AD was almost near max. But you can fill in. When you got three guys on the max, Skip, where the rest of the money coming from? What you going to fill in?
Okay, so I loved it that you have an up-and-coming LeVert. He can score it. And I love it that Dinwiddie is becoming like a veteran scorer.
Right.
Well, you can blend them with Kyrie KD and figure it out and let Jared Allen, can he protect the rim?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, now you have what's called a basketball team.
Right.
The other way, you got a mess. You got the biggest soap opera that they'd have all the back page headlines in New York, but at what expense?
For an all-star game, Skip, this would be fun to watch. KD, Kyrie, and James Harden on the all-star team, that sounds good. But a real basketball game where they're not going to just let you get up and down. Okay, just let them get up and down. Nobody play no defense. I just don't see how this works, Skip. Mm-hmm. For James Harden to need the ball and to have the ball as much as he does, for Kyrie to need and to have the ball, KD is the one that needs the ball the least, but he still wants the ball.
Yeah, when I heard this, I thought, well, is Kevin thinking about semi-retiring? Because he'd have to say, I'll just go along for the ride.
But Skip, remember, he wanted out of OKC because the guy dominated the basketball. So now you're going to go
more about decision-making than dominating.
Well, Skip, if you don't dominate the ball, you're going to make the right decision. I just don't see it. If it happens, I want to see it. Just like I said, I didn't believe Russ and Harden was going to work. Friendship is all that aside. That's fine. I got a lot of friends. Don't mean I want to work and play with them.
Well, unless Brooklyn could get a new rule passed that you get to play with two basketballs, maybe. I don't know. Two would work.
But Kyrie and James, Skip, that doesn't go together.
No, it does not.
Because neither one of them play off the ball. Did you see what James Harden did off the ball when Russ had it? Go stand in the corner.
Kyrie can't be very happy this morning. No mercy.